On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
In the Green Scene, a silent sea killer revealed, but first the extinction of Australia's last native shrew. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Tell me about this poor creature that is no more.
The Christmas Island shrew, so not living on the mainland of Australia, but living about 1,000 kilometres away on Christmas Island. But it is Australia's last remaining shrew. And we're quite familiar. We have the pygmy shrew here in Ireland, a little mouse-like creature, only weighing maybe 5-6 grams with a long nose, little insect eater. And actually, this guy has been pretty elusive for a long time. So as far back as 1908, people wondered, had they gone extinct? But actually, there's been 4 sightings in the last 120 years. And there was a kind of ray of hope back in the mid 80s when researchers did find they had one of those sightings. And in fact, they actually found a female shrew and they were able to bring her into captivity and even found a little male in the same month, which was kind of incredible.
So the species should have continued.
It could have, but it didn't. It didn't. The little male was very aggressive. And I think at the time they weren't sure that those were potentially the last two that they would ever lay their hands on. So it's a sad story, and it's a story that we've heard before, because it's really about why this has happened, and the big reason is invasive species. And we're very conscious of these here too as an island, and they're particularly problematic on islands.
So do we know what killed off the Christmas Island shrew?
It's not one culprit, but we know that a big culprit was probably rats that were introduced to the island. So Christmas Island was uninhabited, you know, until around the 1800s. So it was probably rats and then cats, you know, feral cats that were brought in. And then after that, there was a kind of wave of other species. So the sort of bizarrely named the yellow crazy ant, which is this ant that you've probably seen on nature programs. It sort of forms these super colonies, and it's sort of like a plague goes across the land, taking things down, small animals. And then probably also the wolf snake. So there was actually probably a number of different little critters that came in and probably have now finally finished off.
Now, the tiny little shrew, you might perceive it to be vulnerable because it's so tiny, but other species have vanished as well.
Yeah, and in fact, Australia, you know, people might be surprised, it has the worst rate of mammal extinction because I suppose it was remote for so long. So now, you know, we've seen the pipistrelle bat, the two native rat species that were there, the bulldog rat and McClear's rat, they're all gone. In fact, the only native mammal left on Christmas Island is the Christmas Island flying fox now. So, I mean, really, as a small island, it's vulnerable. But Australia itself is vulnerable. It's losing mammals at a very high rate. And even though officially they say they've lost 100 species kind of since white settlers came, some people think they could have lost up to 9,000 when you count all the insects that they've lost.
And of course, there are many species that we would never have heard of. And perhaps even if you found them, you would not find them terribly attractive. But then there are the charismatic species.
And that's kind of part of this story too, because when we think about Australian creatures, we do think about the cute, furry ones. And I mean, that's another question here. This little, maybe insignificant seeming shrew, nobody seemed to get very worried about it over the last number of decades. And again, even that flying fox, that's the last remaining mammal on Christmas Island, there isn't sort of an emergency program to try and protect that yet either. But certainly the idea of these kind of charismatic species like the panda and the koala and the ones that we see on the World Wildlife Fund, you know, I think this reminds us that we need to think more broadly, because all of these creatures are part of a little ecosystem that is critical.
And if one goes, what else goes too?
Exactly. And often it is, particularly the invertebrates, the little insects that we don't even see going, but maybe they're part of a web where this mammal is part of the food chain. And as I said, we should take note of this here as an island.
You'd imagine, though, islands are automatically protected by the sea around them. So naturally invasive. I mean, if you bring them in on board ship or whatever, that, then you can see it happening. But you should be able to protect yourself if you're an island.
Well, and we know like Australia has very tight biosecurity rules now, but many of these things would have been brought in many years ago. And again, like here, you know, our the grey squirrel, how that was introduced. And, you know, we as an island face some of the same problems, although we're quite close to a landmass. But yes, the sea for many, many years did protect species that had evolved over hundreds of thousands of years. But that sea barrier is now much more porous as we as humans move around the earth.
So in Ireland, what's vulnerable?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, the red squirrel is one that we're certainly very concerned about. The corncrake, so a lot of our ground nesting birds, you know, rats and things like that are a problem there. Sika deer are an invasive species that are damaging a lot of our forests and trees and plants. Of course, we shouldn't forget about the plants here. So, you know, things like rhododendron that have been brought in are one of the invasive species there. So certainly plenty for us to be working on as we kind of mourn the loss of the Christmas Island shrew.
Now, the next thing you want to tell us about is also in Australia, and this is Australia's Algan Armageddon.
Yeah, so this is a really incredible story that perhaps we haven't heard about very much on this side of the world. But since March this year, there's been a massive algal bloom, which is covering 30% of South Australia's coastline, predominantly around Adelaide. Now, this algal bloom, I mean, we've heard about them here, we've heard about them in lakes, but this is quite unusual. And in fact, when scientists saw it first, they thought it was a fairly common algal species of the Karenia family. But in fact, when they went in to look at it, it was a very, very unusual species of algae. It had only been seen a couple of times before. It's called Karenia cristata. And that cristata strain is more concerning because it's highly toxic. And it actually contains a neurotoxin called a Brev toxin. So this is really concerning. So we think that over 500 different species have died. Millions of animals have now died off South Australia's coast. And this toxin, they've actually had to shut some of the shellfish production there because of the levels of toxin.
And what does the bloom look like? Is it red or yellow or green or grey?
You can see this red and yellow kind of bloom off the coast. You can see it in satellite imagery. And of course, what's really concerning is when scientists have gone in, when they identified it genetically, they found that the level of the toxin is twice as high as anything we've seen before. And in fact, it's even potentially dangerous. It could get into the air and become airborne. So obviously people, when they're swimming, you know, it is a nerve toxin. It could disrupt nerve function. It's not going to kill anyone, but, you know, it could cause coughing, sneezing, watery eyes. But potentially, even as waves crash into the coastline, this toxin could be carried into coastal areas.
Now, what is causing it?
Well, I mean, we don't, again, fully know, but we do know that back in 2023, when the Murray River flooded. So again, like we have here, nitrogen runoff from agriculture going in stimulates algal bloom. But there was also kind of a coastal upwelling that brought nutrient-rich water up to the surface, which was probably a result of changing kind of currents in the broader ocean. And then like here, there's been a marine heat wave all over the world in many spots since about 2024. So again, that would help create current conditions. Even though actually this algal is normally happier in cold water, but those slightly warmer waters, it seems to be such a tough species that it is doing well. And actually other competitor algae may have been killed off by the heating, just giving it more space.
Well, now that they know what it is and what it can do, what are they doing?
Yeah, so it's really been seen as a very significant problem in the US. It's impacting on fisheries, tourism, everything. So they've pledged over 130 million Australian dollars to deal with it. So they're going to deploy what we call cytobots. So cytobots sound very futuristic. They're essentially like underwater robot microscopes. So they're going to be dispensed to kind of monitor the coastline. They will actually in real time be able to pick up algal cells and tell researchers what kind of algae is there. They're also looking at things like flocculation with clay. So people, you know, we use this just to clean our own water. You basically add clay into the water and the weight of the clay attaches to other things in the water and pulls it down to the depths. So obviously that's one thing they want to do. But I mean, that's going to be a real challenge with the scale of what they're dealing with. So probably finally what they need to do, and this is where we need to take the cautionary note, they need to think about restoring the reefs, the shellfish beds, the seagrass meadows. These are the things that create a healthy, resilient coastline. And of course, as we have here, we have damaged a lot of our seagrass meadows. Our cold corals are hopefully still in better condition, but we need to keep an eye on them. But that idea of actually a resilient coastline, which is full of things like filter feeders and fish. These are the things that are going to stop an algal bloom.
Okay, everything has a predator though. So does this bloom have a predator? That's what I'm wondering. You know, what kills the bloom?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose at certain low levels, there may be some species that can feed off this algae. But I think when the bloom just becomes overwhelming, you know, that can't happen. But things like filter feeders, I think like oysters, you know, can potentially help to clear out algal blooms. Now, I'm not sure you want to eat the oysters after they've cleared this particular algae out of the way. But I mean, that's one of the reasons we've introduced now oyster beds back into Dunleary in Dublin. You know, that's a really good thing to be doing. And we certainly should think about our coastline and how we're making a resilient coastline that might be able to cope with warmer oceans, more nutrients going into the ocean and changing ocean patterns.
So soon we shall see Dr. Ruth Freeman diving for pearls.
maybe.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three-bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.